Hi, it's Dave. Recently, ARK Invest boosted their Tesla stock price target to $7,000 by the end of 2024. Yet, they're selling Tesla stock like crazy. Just in the past 4 months or so, they sold off over two-thirds of their Tesla position. In this video, I want to take a deeper look into this seemingly crazy behavior. ARK Invest manages 5 different actively managed ETFs, as well as 2 index ETFs. Most of their managed ETFs have actually outperformed the S&P 500 over the past 5 years. They're big proponents of disruption and researching disruption. If you look at one of their decks, it's called The Big Ideas of 2020, and every year they come up with their research on the biggest disruptive trends that are going on in technology. Over the years, they've become one of the most vocal Tesla bulls on Wall Street, and they've done so with these crazy Tesla price targets. And their latest one is a $7,000 price target for Tesla stock by the year 2024. However, what's a little peculiar about this situation is that they've been selling off a lot of their Tesla shares in the past several months. Let's take a look at a few of the figures. On September 30th, 2019, ARK Invest had 1.17 million shares of Tesla. The Tesla share price was about $240 at that time. On December 31st, 2019, ARK Invest had about 722,000 shares of Tesla, and the stock price at that time was $418. So during the 3-month period of Q4 in 2019, they sold off about 450,000 shares of their Tesla stock. That's about 38.4% of their total Tesla holdings. Now let's look at the first month or so of 2020. As of February 7th, 2020, here are some figures. ARK Invest sold 337,000 Tesla shares during that period. And on February 7th, 2020, they had about 385,000 Tesla shares total. And the stock price on February 7th was about $748. So on October 1st, 2019, they had 1.17 million shares of Tesla. And then February 7th, just about 4 months later, they have 385,000 Tesla shares. In total, they sold about 788,000 Tesla shares and about 67.2% of their total Tesla holdings. So let's think about this a little deeper. Here you have the most vocal Tesla bull on Wall Street preaching a $7,000 price target in just 5 years. Yet, within a period of 4 months, they sold off over two-thirds of their position. So we've got a little tension going on in these two behaviors, right? You're preaching a $7,000 price target in just 5 years, yet you're selling two-thirds of your Tesla position. If you really believe that Tesla was going to $7,000 and within 5 years, why would you sell off so much of Tesla? So let's go to the source. On October 23rd, 2019, Kathy Wood, the CEO of ARK Invest, posted a video on Twitter, and she goes to explain the reason why they were selling Tesla back last year, but also this reasoning applies to their current selling as well.
Hi, recently at ARK Invest, we've been asked quite a bit about our trading activity. Well, we've been in a volatile market, especially when it comes to innovation, and disruptive innovation is inherently volatile itself. We take advantage of trading opportunities that this volatility presents. So if a stock is down for what we believe are very short-term or short-sighted reasons that have no impact on our 5-year time horizon, we typically will be buying a stock like that. On the other hand, when a stock reaches 10% of our portfolio, we cannot buy any longer. We can let it run up to 12, 13, sometimes we let it go a little above that, but typically, because by that time, the stock has run 30%, has done 30% better than all of the other stocks in our portfolio, we will take profits. This is simply portfolio management. Now, in the case of Tesla, as you know, we bought it down into the 180 range, and as it approached 240, 50, it had crossed over 12, 13% of the portfolio. We were taking profits because we were getting opportunities elsewhere in the portfolio, particularly in the genomic stocks, that we felt we should take profits and reallocate the funds. That's simply what has happened here with Tesla. Last year, our trading in Tesla contributed 175 basis points to performance. So the trading around disruptive innovation is another important source of alpha generation for us here at ARK Invest.
First off, I'm not trying to focus my video on criticizing ARK or Cathie Invest. In fact, Cathie and ARK Invest can do whatever they want, and they've been outperforming the S&P 500, which is better than most funds out there. But what I want to do is I want to look at the deeper principles at play here and really examine them from a deeper level. The key phrase that Cathie Wood uses in her explanation is that she's taking profits and it's simply portfolio management. So that's the key word. She's saying, hey, we're just taking profits. It's simply portfolio management. And here they are. They believe in kind of the value of short-term trading, and they believe in the value of diversification. Some think that this is some type of SEC rule that ARK Invest can't control, where the SEC is requiring them to have no more than 10% in a single stock. And this is not the case. Cathie Wood makes it clear that this is an internal guideline, an internal rule that their fund has set up, that they don't want to go more than 10% or a few percent higher than that. And this is based on their beliefs on portfolio management and diversification. In other words, they could have changed the rules, and they could change the rules right now. And they could say, hey, we're going to let Tesla run. We're going to let it run to a higher percent of our portfolio. But they're intentionally choosing not to let Tesla run in their portfolio because they believe in diversification. They want to spread out their bets. And I want to point out that this seems to be intention, and there's a discrepancy with their hyper uber bullish views on Tesla having a 50 to 75% chance of going to $7,000 in 2024. If they're so convicted in Tesla, and many times they've said that Tesla is their highest conviction stock, then you would imagine that they would at least make an exception, that you would let the stock run. You would make an exception to your 10% rule and just let it run if you think it's really going to do a 10x. If Tesla really does a 10x within the 5 years that they're forecasting, then they would have 1/10 of the position that they could have had if they would just have held on. But it appears that their conviction and their beliefs toward diversification, toward this 10% rule, holds a higher conviction in their belief system than their conviction that Tesla really is going to 7,000 within 5 years. And I think it speaks to the culture of the day, to the value system that they're surrounded by, that ARK Invest, the most vocal bull on Wall Street, would actually believe in diversification to the point that they won't let their biggest winner run and ride. They'd rather just pull the money and spread out their bets. Let's take a moment here to hear from Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger on this issue of diversification, but more importantly, on portfolio management. Here you go.
We like to put a lot of money in things that we feel strongly about. And that gets back to the diversification question. We think diversification, as practiced generally, makes very little sense for anyone that knows what they're doing. Diversification is a protection against ignorance. I mean, if you want to make sure that nothing bad happens to you relative to the market, you own everything. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that is a perfectly sound approach for somebody who does not feel they know how to analyze businesses. If you know how to analyze businesses and value businesses, it's crazy to own 50 stocks or 40 stocks or 30 stocks probably, because there aren't that many wonderful businesses that are understandable to a single human being in all likelihood. And to have some super wonderful business and then put money in number 30 or 35 on your list of attractiveness and forego putting more money into number one just strikes Charlie and me as madness. It's conventional practice, and it, you know, if all you have to achieve is average, may preserve your job, but it's a confession, in our view, that you don't really understand the businesses that you own. On a personal portfolio basis, you know, I own one stock, but it's a business I know, and it leaves me very comfortable. You know, do I need to own 28 stocks in order to, you know, have proper diversification? You know, it'd be nonsense. Within Berkshire, I could pick out three of our businesses, and I would be very happy if they were the only businesses we owned and I had all my money in Berkshire. Now, I love it, the fact that we can find more than that and that we keep adding to it. But three wonderful businesses, it's more than you need in this life to do very well. The average person isn't going to run into that. I mean, if you look at how the fortunes were built in this country, they weren't built out of a portfolio of 50 companies. They were built by someone who identified with a wonderful business. Coca-Cola is a great example. A lot of fortunes have been built on that. And there aren't 50 Coca-Colas. You know, there aren't 20. If there were, it'd be fine. We could all go out and diversify like crazy among that group and get results that would be equal to owning the really wonderful one, but you're not going to find it. And the truth is, you don't need it. I mean, if you have a really wonderful business, is very well protected against the vicissitudes of the economy over time and competition. I mean, you know, we're talking about businesses that are resistant to effective competition. Three of those will be better than 100 average businesses. And they'll be safer, incidentally. There is less risk in owning three easy-to-identify wonderful businesses than there is in owning 50 well-known big businesses. It's amazing what has been taught over the years in finance classes about that. I can assure you that if I had to bet the next 30 years on the fortunes of my family that would be dependent upon the income from a given group of businesses, I would rather pick three businesses from those we own than own a diversified group of 50. Charlie?
Yeah, what he's saying is that much of what is taught in modern corporate finance courses is twaddle. You cannot believe this stuff. Modern portfolio theory and...
It has no utility. But I mean, it will tell you how to do average. I think anybody can figure out how to do average in fifth grade. I mean, it's just not that difficult. And it's elaborate, and, you know, there's lots of little Greek letters and all kinds of things to make you feel that you're in the big leagues, but there is no value added.
I have great difficulty with it because I am something of a student of dementia.
Together.
And I can ordinarily classify dementia. You know, on some theory structure of models, but the modern portfolio theory, it involves a type of dementia I just can't even classify. Something very strange is going on.
If you find three wonderful businesses in your life, you'll get very rich. And if you understand them, bad things aren't going to happen to those three. I mean, that's the characteristic of it.
By the way, maybe that's the reason there's so much dementia. If you believe what Warren said, you could teach the whole course in about a week.
Yeah, and the high priest wouldn't have any edge over the lay people, and that right. Never sells well.
Right.
So here you have Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger calling this portfolio management practice as crazy and just pure madness. They're saying if you can identify like a breakout big business, like one of the most fantastic businesses that you've ever found, and yet you choose to diversify, pull the money out of that big winner and spread out your bets into 30 or 40 companies, that just seems like the most craziest thing to do. I mean, this is in the words of Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. It would make sense if you identify that breakout winner and it's your top conviction that you would actually pour more money into that stock, have a bigger position over time. Or at least you could let the stock ride out. Just hold your position and let it ride out as you see the 5 or 10x gains within several years. What does it say when the most vocal Tesla bull on Wall Street is scared to have too much of an exposure to Tesla? They won't even let their Tesla position run to 25% of their portfolio. Now, I'm not against diversification. I think it can be wise, especially when you're invested in high growth companies where the majority of their value is based upon their future growth and there can be volatility and lots of unknowns. And you've got to have some humility and understand the risks of investing in certain types of companies. But if you're running a fund with 30 to 50 companies in the fund, and you identify this breakout 10x generational company that you think is going to do a 10x valuation within 5 to 10 years, and you're confident about that, yet when it starts to rise, you start selling it off like crazy and putting that money towards your underperformers, that just seems like madness on some level. But on another level, I get it. You gotta look at the business model that ARK Invest has. They're a fund. They have about $11 billion in management. And for their actively managed funds, I believe their portfolio management fee is about 0.75%. So their business model is two things. One is they're trying to grow the total amount of money that they're managing. And the second thing is they're taking a cut of that total amount of money as a management fee, so 0.75%, which could be in the tens of millions of dollars. So for ARK Invest, their business model focus, in my opinion, really is to market themselves as a company that is outperforming the S&P 500. And by doing so, they can gain a bigger pool of revenue that they manage from different places, and then they can take a bigger cut of that revenue. So I get it. Maybe the goal really isn't per se long-term investing, or it isn't really finding that generational company that does a 10x, but rather if the goal is simply to beat the S&P 500, because that will allow you to get more people into your fund, and by doing so, you'll get a bigger cut, then it makes sense to me why ARK Invest would reduce their Tesla exposure. By reducing their Tesla position to about 10%, it kind of matches the diversification and the portfolio management culture and values of Wall Street, values by which Munger and Buffett are critical of for good reason. The culture of the day teaches to spread out your bets between 30 to 50 companies, and if there's a breakout winner, to pull that money and to spread it out to the underperformers. And if by doing so, ARK Invest meets their goal of beating the S&P 500, then more power to them. You know, they're playing a different game. In my opinion, I think it's an error when you identify a 10x generational company rather than pulling the money and spreading it out to underperformers. I think it's wise to actually hold on to it. It just makes sense to have a long-term view. But this question of portfolio management and the way that ARK ArkInvest is approaching it does bring skepticism, in my opinion, to their $7,000 price target in 2024. Like, are they really convicted? And do they really have strong beliefs toward that target? And if so, it doesn't seem to match their liquidation of 2/3 of their Tesla holdings just within the past 4 months or so. I wouldn't mind challenging Cathie Wood to a friendly wager. I'd like to give them opportunity to prove that they're really sincere and that they really believe in their $7,000 price target by 2024. I personally think it's pie in the sky. I think the assumptions are way too optimistic and rosy, and I don't think it's grounded on reality. And so I'll take the bet that Tesla won't hit a $7,000 price target by 2024, and Cathie Wood can take a $7,000 price target or higher, and whoever loses the bet can send the proceeds to the charity of the other person's choice. Anyways, this week I wanna talk about a few of these topics more in depth. For example, I wanna talk about the topic of diversification, and I also wanna take a look at ARK Invest's $7,000 price target by 2024, and I wanna look at the assumptions that they're making, and I wanna take a deeper look that a lot of people aren't doing with a price target like this. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, please do so. We're taking a different look at investing. We're looking at it from deep thinking. We're questioning things that maybe other people might not question. And we're trying to see clearly the present, which will help us to forecast the future better, which will enable us to be better investors. But I think this type of thinking impacts the rest of our life positively as well. The rest of the video, I want to answer a few questions from viewers. The first question comes from Sugi Boogie. It says, Dave, please consider releasing the audio version of your videos in podcast form. I just finished quote unquote listening to this video on my commute, video playing on my phone, but I can only listen, needed eyes on the road, and I don't think much is lost in an audio-only version. I personally don't have sufficient time in the day to sit down and watch a 20-plus minute video on YouTube, but I'm very interested in consuming your opinions on investing. So an audio-only version works better in my case. All right, thank you for the suggestion. I actually have an audio podcast, and it's basically set up where when I upload a YouTube video, the video automatically takes the audio and puts it on a podcast. I don't do any work. It's like a service that's provided by another company. So check it out. Go to Apple iTunes or Google Play or whatever podcast player you're using and type in Dave Lee on Investing, and you'll probably find the podcast. Sometimes it takes like an hour or two for the podcast to get updated, and it's still kind of something I'm testing out, but check it out and let me know what you think. The next question is from Loki Dijkstra. He says, what if fuel cells are going to have a major technical breakthrough causing the battery technology to become a much less viable option for cars? How would this impact the business model? I think it would be huge. All right, here's some of my thoughts regarding these new energy breakthroughs that are being claimed left and right by many different people. I think energy storage is actually a very difficult problem, and sometimes you might have a so-called breakthrough in one facet of energy storage. Like, for example, it could charge really quick, or it could discharge really quick, or it could last a long time. But however, energy storage needs the complete package. It needs to last long. It needs to have lots of cycles. It needs to discharge and charge at a reasonable rate. It needs to have a certain number of cycles. And if most importantly, it needs to be safe. The chemistry needs to be safe. And there's also a cost issue. It needs to be efficient and cost affordable. A lot of times when you have a certain type of new energy breakthrough or technology, oftentimes it just ignores one or two or even three of these different variables. And what we got currently with lithium ion batteries is amazing. We're talking about decades and decades of research and development and iterative improvements. And with that, I think lithium ion batteries is gonna take us another 5 or 10 years or even 20 or 30 years out. But I think there is hope for energy breakthrough. And here's my scenario for that. I think a company like Tesla, when they start making millions and millions of cars and they have billions or if not tens of billions of dollars of profit, that a person like Elon Musk, a CEO, is gonna spend a lot of money on research and development. He's gonna buy out the most promising tech companies with energy storage. He's gonna attract the brightest minds with energy. And with that, he's gonna pour in the resources and he's gonna give them ambitious goals, and he's gonna push them hard, where he's gonna have hundreds and if not thousands of people working on energy breakthrough. And the reason why I'm bullish on this is because Tesla would have millions of cars, and so it's worth it for the energy breakthroughs to be real and to be enacted very quickly. And with all of this capital funding the research and development and being essential to the future growth of the company, I'm looking at the possibility that Tesla really can speed up the rate of improvement with energy storage. Maybe it'll be a new technology, but the massive new discoveries in energy storage are probably still 5, 10, 15 years out. However, this is another reason why I'm bullish on Tesla, because I think after 5 or 10 years with more profits, they're gonna be able to extend their lead with energy storage. Anyways, thanks for watching. Please like the video, put a comment, and share this video with others on Facebook, on Reddit, on forums, and everywhere you can. It's really gonna help to get the word out to other people about this channel. Anyways, we'll see you in the next video. Thanks.